Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation at 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off. Call 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. That's 800-721-6723.
The show that's focused on investing strategies for today's needs and tomorrow's goals. This is Bucket Strategy Investing, presented by the Wealth Advisors at Lucia Capital Group. Now, here are Johnny Dean and Rick the Professor Plum.
Hey, we welcome you back. Johnny Dean, Professor Plum, another hour of the Bucket Strategy Investing Program is just underway. So prepare yourselves for whatever may be coming. Even we don't necessarily know, although I got a lot of ideas. Our Professor Rick Plum, he's here with me. I'm Johnny Dean. He's the guy that we do call the Professor, I guess, known in official circles as Rick Plum from Lucia Capital Group. We're both here standing by to answer your money questions. We're going to dive right into this hour's strategy session. We do have a lot of things to talk about along with anything else that's on your mind. I wanted to get to a call that we had. We're going to take your calls first, but a call that we had toward the end of the hour, last hour, that had to do with borrowing from the 401k and some of the costs of that. I want to get into that maybe a little bit more if we have a chance with Professor Plum for folks who may be thinking about this. It's not the end of the world if you have to, but understand the costs going into that, taking money, in fact, distributions, actually, in this case, from the 401k. So we'll talk about that. A lot of other topics on the table. Whatever's on your mind, your emails, your phone calls, of course, are coming up, so you want to keep it right here for the best in money information. We're going to cover what you need to know about your money and about your money strategies. Emails, you can send those to us right here at our website, wealthed.com, at the Find Your Answer link. We do take phone calls first on this show, though, so if you need your question answered right away, how you do that? You give us a call, 877-PLANNER. That's our number here in the studio. You can get in touch with the Brain Trust off the air. Whole bunch of different ways to do this. Almost any time of the day. The number is 800-644-1150. I'll say it again. You need a personalized bucket strategy. You need one that's designed with the goals, your goals, and needs in mind. Call Professor Plum, any of the Brain Trust advisors at Lucia Capital Group at that number, 800-644-1150. You can schedule an appointment with a Brain Trust advisor, get yourself a bucket strategy, and don't try to do this yourself, okay? That's my other piece of advice. Again, off the air, 800-644-1150. A lot of stuff to talk about. We will get going, 877-PLANNER. We got some folks on hold, so let's take the calls first, Professor, before we get into some of this other stuff and some emails at wealthed.com. We'll go next to Peter in Las Vegas with a question. Hello, Peter.
Hi, how are you? Thanks good for taking my call.
Well, thank you for calling. How can we help you today?
I had a question. I have three boys that I've been saving for since the day that they were born, and I just have a savings account. And my wife and I thought it's probably a lot smarter to either put it towards, I don't know, 529 or like an index fund. And I just am not really well versed on what 529s, the flexibility that you may or may not have with them. And I just thought I'd give you guys a call and see if you guys can make a recommendation on what I should do with this money.
Sure. How old are the boys now?
5, 6, and 12.
Okay, well, a 529 is an education savings account. And so you put the money in, and depending upon the company that you use, there's one for the state of Nevada that they've checked in, I mean, they use, but you don't have to use Nevada's 529. You can use any of the state's 529 plans. They may have a little bit of control as far as you can only make changes every quarter, things like that, but you probably shouldn't be changing it that often anyway. They're probably going to be better for the 5 and the 6-year-old rather than the 12-year-old. But what's happening is whatever it potentially will grow to, by the time they go to college, then you can pull the money out of their plan and the earnings can be tax-free as long as it's used for the post-secondary education expenses. So assuming your kids are going to go to college, assuming this money that's currently in savings is actually earmarked for their college savings, The 529 can work fairly well. Now, this is money that's been in savings, though, so it may not be money that was earmarked for their college. It may have been earmarked for a car when they turn 16, for certain extracurricular camps or whatever. I don't know what else you would use it for, but if it's for education, I don't have a problem with the 529. But if you want more flexibility so they can use it for something other than education, then a 529 plan would not work. Now we go back to, regardless of whether it's a 529 or something else, when might they use it? Your 12-year-old, you've got about 6 years before they go to school. Maybe 10 years if they can get all their classes in 4 years, maybe a little more. So the question of investing it, how, if I put the money into a 529, how should I go about investing it, kind of looks that the 12-year-old's funds might be more of a balanced approach or something more, you know, not just pure equities. Whereas if it's a 529 for the 5 and the 6-year-old, we've got a much longer time horizon for their funds, and so we can be more aggressive, more like that, an index fund or some type of an all-equity type fund for that 12 to 14-year time horizon that they have for their education needs. Now, if it's just personal money and we're going to use it for a car when your son turns 16, that's only 4 years for the older one. It's coming up on you quick, by the way. Remember that. That's too short for being a real investor. You'd have to be a little bit more safe with that. So what is this money for?
Well, honestly, I haven't really earmarked it for anything other than them, for them. I got an undergraduate degree from University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, and I'm not really using it. So, you know, unless they're going to get a terminal degree, it's really kind of hard to recommend college for these guys these days.
Okay.
ROI. So
we're not going to use the 529.
Maybe I'll be able to help them start a business or something.
Right, so we're not going to use the 529 plan. So that makes it nice. We've kind of said, since we're not guaranteeing that they're going to use it for education, we're not going to put it in the 529. Because if you put it in the 529 and then don't need it for education, it's harder to get out. It becomes less flexible. So now it's just a matter of, what's our time horizon for them using the money? If the time horizon is, like I said, for a car when the older one gets to be 16, that's a certain type of investing, balanced approach. Maybe that's where a target date of a 2020 fund comes in, where you're hoping to get a little bit, you're willing to take a little bit of risk, but you're hoping to get something better than what a money market account does. And so, but for the other ones, you know, the 5 and the 6-year-old, that's 10 plus years before even a car or starting a business is 12, 15 years down the line. That's where some type of a stock market investment can do. Now, it also depends on how much money is sitting in savings. If it's $500, it's one thing. If it's $10,000, it's another thing, because you have more opportunities the larger the accounts are.
Yeah, it's closer to $10,000.
Yeah, so there's opportunity in that area where you could keep some money. You know, let's say it's $10,000 per kid. Maybe you keep some money in a bank account, one of these online bank accounts, so you can get at least 1% or so from that for needs that they might need in the next couple of years. And as that 12-year-old gets into high school and gets into other, you know, they get more expensive. Nobody ever told us that. We thought they were bad when they were babies. They get more expensive. And so you might want to keep some of the money safe and then invest the rest of it for longer term.
Okay. Can you get a little bit more specific as far as like an index fund or something that you guys recommend for the little guys?
Well, if an index fund, whether it be a total stock market index or the S&P 500 index, those can be very appropriate. I can't really get into recommendations over the air like this, but those are the types of things you might want to look at, or maybe a more diversified approach. This is where a target date could work a little bit. But I know I can't make strict recommendation. I can't say, go buy the XYZ mutual fund in this. I can't do that in this forum.
Okay. Hey, guys. I appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
All right, Peter, thank you for the call. Peter's sort of saying what I was saying.
Well, about college, yeah.
About college.
It's not for everybody.
And one of the things, I mean, there's nothing wrong.
But they're
wrong
making it seem like you got to go to college or else you're never going to do anything in life.
Well, it's become the sort of, I don't know, it's always in the background. That the only way, I think that idea sort of stems from years and years ago, when we were more of a manufacturing society, and if you didn't go to college, you were down on the assembly line. If you did go to college, you wore the tie and you were up in the office.
But I do think college does open opportunities, and even though you may not be using a degree.
It does.
There's a lot of companies who won't even look at you unless you have a college degree. It looks like in the past it was if you didn't have a high school diploma, they didn't look at you. Now the weeding factor is, boom, the bar's raised a little bit. But I go back to it depends on the individual, too. I know people, the people that I know that are truly, truly financially wealthy, most of them don't have college degrees. They started working at a young age. They worked their tails off, and they created a company that made them a ton of money.
Well, or there are those.
But then I know some people that didn't go to college, and they're on the exact other side of it because they didn't have that drive. Yeah. And they didn't have the drive to go to college. They didn't have the drive to do anything. And that's why they're in the situation they're at.
Yeah, and of course, it all boils down to the cost.
Individual, yeah.
If it still costs as much as it costs when I went, maybe with a little inflation, now I've been out of college for 30
a while.
Plus years. Been that long?
Yes.
I've been out 30 years. Okay, well, anyway, I've been out that long. But even if it costs, you know, maybe 2-3% more per year, a little bit of an inflation factor from when I went. But, I mean, the fact that people can graduate with $150,000 worth of debt. And not be a doctor. Or even if they are, they went to law school and they've got $100,000 worth of law school debt and they can't seem to find any employment. I mean, you have to start weighing the costs versus the benefits.
Well,
and this is where people get upset with me and others, and I don't know about Peter, but others who say, look, you know, you have to go to college no matter what. Now, we're going
to
be talking.
He's on the other side. He's saying you don't have to go to college.
No.
Start a business.
Well, that's the thing. And maybe you can work through high school and get into the company.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows? We're going to be talking about these college savings vehicles. For those folks who are intent on sending their kids to college, there are a lot of ways you can save. And there are a lot of ways you can save money, too. And I mean spend less money. So we're going to talk about it on this program tomorrow. Okay, we've got a lot more to talk about. 877-PLANNER. Emails to get to at wealthed.com. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum from Lucia Capital Group. Bucket Strategy Investing continues right after this.
It's one of the most common concerns for stock market investors.
Nobody knows when the next market collapse is going to happen.
Ray Lucia Jr. on the Risk Buffer Investment Strategy.
Really, the question is, how do we prepare for the next market downturn?
Many investors fear another severe market drop.
They remember 2008 like it's yesterday, and they're looking for ideas and concepts where they may be able to protect some of their portfolio. And that's where a risk buffer potentially comes in.
Spend 10 minutes watching a video that explains the risk buffer concept and where it may fit in your investment strategy. Now online at riskbuffer.com. That's riskbuffer.com.
Within the strategy itself, there's lots of ways to customize it.
Ray Lucia Jr. explains the risk buffer strategy in a free video. Go to riskbuffer.com. That's riskbuffer.com. A risk buffer strategy involves purchase of a variable annuity, which is a long-term investment product. Guarantees are based on the claims-paying ability of the issuer subject to their terms and conditions. Ray Lucia Jr. is the CEO of Lucia Securities LLC, member FINRA SIPC, and affiliate of Lucia Capital Group. Social Security rules that may affect your benefits are changing in 2016. Do you know how you'll be impacted?
My question has to do with Social Security and...
The Bipartisan Budget Act of 2015 changed the way some couples will file for Social Security benefits.
Are we each allowed to take a spousal benefit on the other?
The rules that previously allowed a spouse to claim a partner's benefit while allowing their own benefit to grow have changed. If you were born after January 2, 1954, you may have questions about the laws affecting restricted claims on spousal benefits. Call the Social Security hotline, 800-838-0483. Find out if you'll be affected and if there's action you need to take. Call the free Social Security hotline, a resource for updates on changing rules and regulations. Call 800-838-0483. 800-838-0483. The Social Security Hotline is not endorsed by or a service of the Social Security Administration or any government agency. Lucia Capital Group is not affiliated with the Social Security Administration.
For life's aches and pains, choose Blue Emu Continuous Pain Relief Spray. It works fast and it's easy to use, designed to work odor-free in all those remote areas. It works here. It's odor-free here. It works here. Blue Emu Continuous Pain Relief Spray. Fast-acting, easy-to-use, odor-free pain relief for all those remote areas. Available at Walmart, Walgreens, CVS, and other fine retail.
Do you owe $10,000 or more on at least two federal student loans? Then you may qualify for new programs offered by the Department of Education. These programs can reduce your interest, lower your payments, and possibly qualify you for loan forgiveness. If you have $10,000 or more and at least two federal student loans and currently not in school, you may qualify for one of these programs.
Call now to check your eligibility. Student loan advisors are standing by to help you determine if you qualify for these new programs. They can help you reduce your interest, lower your payment, and even forgive a portion of your student loan debt. Take control of your financial future. Make this free 5-minute free call now to Nationwide Student Loans and learn how you can reduce your student loan debt.
800-439-1588, 800-439-1588, 800-439-1588, 800-439-1588.
Have you heard about BizTV? BizTV is the home for America's entrepreneurs, small businesses, and those who want to succeed in life. It's the only national television network committed to airing original, high-quality, educational, and inspirational programming about real business people. BizTV can provide the right kind of ideas, motivation, and education to help fuel the next generation of business owners. Visit BizTV.com and call your satellite or cable service provider to request BizTV.
Talking about money, we're talking about strategy, we're talking about business, finance, and retirement. That's what we do on this program. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum, 877-PLANNER, our number. Hey, we got some lines open now, so if you want to get on board, 877-752-6637. Room right now, as I said, you can get on board if you call right now, 877-PLANNER. Okay, now I wanted to get into this just a little bit here for a few moments. We were talking with a caller. Now, if you just tuned in, you probably didn't hear this, but at the end of the previous hour, a caller from Las Vegas, Manny, who had just been let go of his job, and he had he saw it coming, so he's kind of said he'd been kind of looking for work, but
not finding much.
The things that he's finding pay maybe half of what he was making at his current job. He's 30 or so. He had, I think, 4 kids. So there's a lot. There's a lot going on there, and I could sense in his voice that he was kind of despairing a little bit. And one thing that he had was his 401k from his previous employer, which I guess is still at his previous employer currently, $44,000. He had mentioned that he had roughly $28,000 of debt. Some of it was a car, probably a decent chunk. Also, he said was his student loans that he was still paying. And so his question to us was, well, do I get rid of those debts with the $44,000? His thought was he could take the money out of the 401k or, you know, maybe just kill it all completely and then pay off the $28,000. You had suggested and had said that would be a little bit too expensive. Let's explain that for a moment.
Well, expensive from a tax situation. It's expensive money, so to speak. Where am I going to get the money? The money coming out of the 401k. He's going to have to pay tax. Some of it will be at 15% if he did it all this year. And the bigger chunk of it, maybe two-thirds of it, would be at 25%. Although with four kids, he's going to have a bigger chunk at 15. Yeah. So he's going to have 15% on some of it, 25% on some, and then a 10% penalty on all of it. So he's going to pay, call it a quarter of whatever he takes out of the 401k, 25%. So now we just want to look, what is the debt costing us? And not talking from an emotional toll, just from a financial toll. If it's 2-3% automobile debt, paying 25%, that's you're paying more in taxes and penalties than you're going to pay in interest if you can figure out a way to make the payments. On the other side, if you've got credit card debt at 28.9%, it's the interest on the credit card is costing you more than the cost of getting the money out of the 401k. Now, taking the money out of the 401k still, it is money that was supposed to be set aside for retirement, but I know that the situation is not a good situation, so we have to make it through. So depending upon the outlook, if you think that it's only going to be a month or two or three before you get another job, the job that you can at least stay with for a little bit, I'd rather take out enough each month to live off of to make the payments so that I could get through this unemployment period. And then when I get employed again, get back on track to try to pay it off, leaving the majority of the $44,000 in an IRA. If it looks like I'm not going to get another job for several years, and paying all this money, paying all these debts off, creates a very big swing in my cash flow to where maybe just having my spouse's employment, we can get by. That may be the difference, but I want it to be a longer term. If I think I'm going to get reemployed another month or two, I would be less likely to take the money out of the 401k. If I think it's going to take a long time, a year or more, to get employed at a real job, not something that's half of what I was making before, then I might be more inclined to take it out and pay it off.
I sensed from Manny's call, and I know a lot of you are just tuning in, you probably didn't hear it, but from Manny's call that he was not seeing anything on the horizon too soon.
Right, but too soon, what is that, 2, 3, 4 weeks? I mean, when you're out of work, a week seems like a really long time.
No, it does, but I was sensing some months. Now, I don't know.
I don't know.
We don't know for sure. But there is a cost to doing that. So if he had $44,000 in his 401k, I mean, by the time you get finished with taxes, now he has no state taxes, so he was
thankfully
okay with that. But by the time you get finished with federal taxes and penalties, because he is 30 years old or so, well under age 55, by the time you get finished with that, how much money is left over out of that $44,000?
Right. And so now we're going to, not much. I mean, somewhere, you know, he may have a couple $1,000 left over when he's done, depending upon the actual tax bracket. So the question then becomes, what debt do I really need to pay off? Either from an interest rate standpoint or from a cash flow, how much bang for my buck? If I've got, like I said, if I've got a $5,000, you know, credit card out there that's paying my interest rates through the moon, and if I can pay it off and save $800, $900 a month, mm-hmm. you know, that's a big swing in cash flow for a not huge amount of money. But on the other side, if I've got $10,000, you know, car payment that's cost me $200 a month, $220 a month, that I think would be easier to live with for a little while rather than the other way around.
Yeah.
So there's a couple ways to look at this. None of them are going to be fun, but I can understand wanting to pay it off, but I just want them to understand that it's expensive money to pay it off with.
It is expensive. So as you said, it's probably better if you can, to take little bits at a time, 1 month at a time. You're still going to pay the 15% tax on this, federal tax. You're still going to pay the penalties, but at least you've got that $44,000 coming down slowly, and most likely by doing it little by little, you're not going to push yourself up into an even higher tax bracket,
right?
The 25%.
Now, he does have a mortgage. He is married, filing jointly. Mm-hmm. He does have four kids, so he's going to be fairly low on the 15% bracket now that I think about it. But it's basically 25% for every dollar he takes out of that 401k, because you got the 15% income tax and the 10% penalty.
Yeah, and that's really where it hurts. Keep in mind, too, though, if he had been over 55, at least from this company's 401k, that 10% penalty would have gone away, because you can take money out of a 401k of a job that you just left if you're at least age 55.
Right, but he's not there.
No, he's not. But for those who don't know about that particular rule.
But that's just avoiding the penalty. Now we just have mm-hmm. But again, it's all about what's the best use of the money. And there's a financial side to it and an emotional side to it. And it may be that emotionally, it's the best thing to do is you take the money out and pay it off. You know, just what it is. I mean, maybe that if the anxiety and the emotional level is just at a point where, hey, you got to pay it off. And so that makes sense to pay it off.
All right, 877-PLANNER. I don't have time to get to a call yet. I want to get to a quick email here if I can. We've only got about a minute or a minute and a half. This is a question from Andrew in Scottsdale, Arizona. Can the funds from a SEP be rolled into a 401k without any tax penalties? I'm starting a new job next week. I have a SEP and a traditional IRA. The company says they'll allow rollovers from other retirement accounts into the 401.
Well, a SEP, well, what you're talking about now is, can you roll money from an IRA and an IRA into the 401k? Because what you have is an IRA. You have two of them. And so as long as the company will accept IRA money, no problem. Because the SEP IRA, remember, there's two parts of that word, SEP and IRA, SEP IRA. It, once the money is in it, it's treated just like any other traditional IRA. It's just an IRA. So, yes, if the company will accept transfers, the SEP is just as good and the same thing. It's no better, no worse than any other traditional IRA that has no no after-tax money in it.
Yeah, I think it's easy to forget that a SEP is an IRA.
It's a SEP IRA.
It's a simplified employee, but they say, you know, a pension.
Yeah, I know,
well,
but it's an IRA.
It's called a SEP IRA for that reason.
It is just, once the money's in it, if you work for an employer, you're not the employer, but you work for somebody that, you know, opens a SEP on your behalf and contributes money to the SEP. Once the money's in there, just an IRA. Mm-hmm. It's just an IRA for you. You can do whatever you want with it, like any other IRA.
Mm-hmm. The only difference is that you didn't put the money in, the employer put the money in.
And that's the SEP part.
There it is, you see? It's simplified, I guess. All right, Sebastian and others, hold on. We'll get to the calls when we come back. 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R. More emails as well. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum, Bucket Strategy Investing.
Lucia Capital Group Advisors travel the country talking to individuals about retirement at open seminars, but they can also schedule a private seminar at your company and customize a retirement planning presentation for your employees.
I'm Rick Plum, Certified Financial Planner.
And I'm Terry Keyes, Chartered Financial Consultant.
We'll teach you a strategy to integrate Social Security benefits with your other investments.
We'll talk about lifetime income strategies and what alternatives to stocks and bonds may fit into your retirement plan.
We'll tell you what you should know about managed portfolios, and we'll discuss your concerns about outliving your money, stock market volatility, and managing your taxes.
Business owners and HR managers can now schedule private retirement planning meetings for organizations of 50 or more. Call Lucia Capital Group at 800-644-1150 to schedule. That's 800-644-1150. Rick Plum and Terry Keyes are registered representatives of and offer securities through Lucia Securities LLC, a registered broker-dealer member SIPC. Lucia Securities is a wholly owned subsidiary of Lucia Capital Group, a registered investment advisor. All investments are subject to risk, including loss of principal.
Every investor has their own unique financial fingerprint, each with their own unique concerns.
Concern that I have is that I'm not going to have enough money for retirement.
At Lucia Capital Group, we hear your biggest concerns.
Taxes in retirement. Taxes are already biting us pretty good.
Retirement in today's economy can be overwhelming.
Most of my 401k is in a high-risk investment. I'm concerned about that.
If you're worried about outliving your money, the unpredictability of the stock market, or risks associated with inflation, call Lucia Capital Group for a complimentary plan review. Learn how the Bucket Strategy is designed to provide opportunities for diversification and investment options in a low-interest rate environment. Schedule a consultation at no cost by calling 800-644-1150, 800-644-1150, or visit luciacap.com, luciacap.com.
Securities offered through Lucia Securities LLC, member FINRA SIPC, a subsidiary of Lucia Capital Group, an affiliate of Lucia Wealth Services. The strategy involves investment subject to risk.
Life can be unpredictable. That's why you should take control of your family's future now with an estate plan bundle from LegalZoom. Not sure whether you need a last will or a living trust? LegalZoom's network of independent attorneys in 48 states can help you decide which one's right for you without billing by the hour, since LegalZoom isn't a law firm. Plus, updating your estate plan as your family and assets grow couldn't be easier. Enjoy your life. Use LegalZoom for the legal stuff. LegalZoom. Legal help is here.
Welcome to Staples.
Staples guy, I need to get a grip on my company's spending.
Staples has low prices every day.
So I won't overspend?
Nope. With our price match guarantee, you can always get the lowest price on everything for your office.
Everything?
Everything.
The lowest prices on ink, paper, coffee, ink, folders, notepads, ink, sticky notes, ink, trash pads, ink, binders, and ink?
Need some ink?
A little bit, yeah.
Trust Staples for low prices every day. Staples. Make more happen.
Price match good at checkout for items from retailers operating online in retail stores or products sold and shipped by Amazon. See store at staples.com for details.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. That's 800-430-7570.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100-foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait.
Call 800-605-5370. 800-605-5370. Call 800-605-5370.
Market Strategy Investing, Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum. Hey, we're here till the top of the hour, so if you've got money questions, get on board. Talk to us. I know you got money questions. Everybody has money issues of one kind or another. Do you have enough life insurance? That could be one. We were talking about life insurance a little bit earlier. Do you need life insurance? What type should that life insurance take? Do you need annuities? Do you need lifetime income? We're going to be talking about that coming up a little bit later on this week as well. So a lot of stuff to talk about. Whatever questions you have, we're here to answer them for them. Answer them for you. 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R. Dennis, Mason, others, stick around. We're going to get to your calls in just a couple of seconds, but we need to move along to Sebastian. Okay. Sebastian in Westbrook, Connecticut. Hello, Sebastian.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure. How can we help you today?
Okay. My question is, I think I'm pretty well bucketized. My only complaint is that I don't have as much return on my bucket one or income. I was trying to draw a little bit more income. I was just going to bring this by the brain trust there. I own two real estate properties that are paid for, and I get income from there. So I have them basically in bucket three, and I skim money off those to support my bucket one
right.
income. I was wondering if it would be, if you'd recommend, I have an opportunity to buy another house, a three-family house, pay cash for the house, and I could generate another $21,000 a year based on the present figures, and skim off that also to help my bucket one. Is that something that you would advise, to pay cash for a piece of real estate and just draw off the income from that property?
I don't have a problem with it. It can work very well, especially if you have cash sitting on the sidelines. You know, what $200,000, $300,000, whatever it is. Well, actually, with the $21,000 income, it's going to be more expensive than that. But yeah, I mean, if you can get more from the cash flow and potential appreciation, net of all expenses and everything that's going on, I don't have a problem with it. But it's not for everybody. Now, you have rentals. You know what it's like to be a landlord. You know what, at least you have some understanding of all this. You've got probably a better idea of what the rents and the expenses and the maintenance and things of that nature are than somebody who's never done it before. So you probably have a better expectation, at least a closer expectation of reality on the income than maybe somebody coming in who's never done it before. I don't have a problem with it. And the more rentals you have, I don't like doing just one family property, because if I have one rental and I have one vacancy, I don't have any income, but I still have all the expenses. When you have multiple properties, you have a more consistent cash flow. Even if you have a vacancy, it doesn't take away all your income. You still need cash on the sidelines for when there is a vacancy, when they have to repair things, and for those issues. But no, I would look at what is it that I'm actually earning net cash flow-wise. If I'm earning, I wouldn't do it for 2% or 3% because the risk, I think, is too high. But if I'm getting a cash flow of 6-7% or better, net expectation, even assuming, you know, the maintenance and the repairs and everything in it, then I don't have a problem doing it. But just to beat bucket number one, I don't do. I want better than bucket number one on this.
Okay, well, it's about a 5.5% cash on cash return, and because I think I'm overpaying by about $25,000. But my plan was to hold it long term.
Yeah, a 5.5% is a little on the lower side, but that's, you know, that's between you and your choices. You know, I am not a landlord. Maybe it's because I want a bigger cash flow than it, also because I don't have the time to be the landlord. But then if you're comfortable with that. Now, if all you're doing is comparing it, bucket number one is not expected. Bucket number one in our world is very liquid. A rental property is not liquid. It's very, very safe in the fact that there's very little of movement of principal. And from any time, usually very little, if no movement of principal. So these are not apples to apples. And so with high liquidity, very low volatility or no volatility, we don't expect huge rates of return. But we're looking at ways to create income, and one of the ways to create income is through rental properties and things of that nature. And so you're looking at, you know, hopefully, if I like I said, I said 6 to 7, you're at 5.5. Yeah, we're pretty close.
So no real problem with that, Professor?
As long as you have enough liquidity to handle the inevitable problems that come up with it, no, I don't have a problem with it.
Okay, very good. And you guys have an excellent show. I listen to you quite often.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Wonderful. Well, thanks for the call.
Sebastian. No, buying rental property is not for everybody. And so where it does work for some people, it doesn't work for other people. And I want to be rewarded. I mean, when you look at investments, it's all about risk and reward. And with real estate, the risk is the liquidity. They're not liquid.
I don't usually hear bucket one in real estate necessarily together, although there are times when it can be.
He's not really trying to recreate a bucket number one. He's trying to create something to lessen the reliance on bucket number one. So if he can create this other income, maybe he doesn't need much from bucket number one, so he doesn't need to put as much money in bucket number one because he's got a bunch of income from other sources. Mm-hmm. We talk about having lifetime income, and there's different ways to create lifetime income. Typically, lifetime income is something from a guaranteed source, a pension, Social Security, a guaranteed annuity. But you don't have to have all of your income from guaranteed sources. There are other types of investment, alternative investments, real estate
REITs.
Investments,
yeah.
That create relatively stable income that is higher than what an annuity. But every time you start getting higher incomes, you're stepping away from the safety side of the house.
Which gets
you're
away from...
You're taking more risk every time you do that.
Right, which gets away from why you have bucket one in the first place.
And bucket number one is there to supplement all these other forms of income that you have. And when you have income that is relatively stable but not guaranteed, you still need to have some cash on the sidelines to be able to weather the storm from time to time.
Right.
And
so,
the rental storm.
You know, there talking about alternative investments. There are people who will take maybe a chunk of money, rather than put that into bucket one, put it in some type of alternative investments, a real estate investment trust, say, for example. I'm not saying that those are safe. I mean, there's risk in those as well.
But you have to be able to withstand the illiquidity of it.
But that's the thing. But if you can get you know, hold it for 10 years and you're going to get what you feel, what you believe to be, is a relatively safe, not guaranteed, but stable income, doesn't that also count?
I'd like to use the word relatively stable because I don't want to use the word safe. I mean, rental properties, I've seen where houses across the street from each other, one was just a gold mine for the owner and the other one was a boondoggle. I mean, it just, for whatever reason, things happened. And so real estate has its issues, both on the good side and the negative side. It's illiquid, but that's also why I think a lot of people have done fairly well, assuming they didn't over leverage themselves and do other things.
Because
Get out of the dang thing when it goes down in value sometimes. And so they end up, I'm not going to sell it for that. I barely even break even. And they end up holding on to it. Whereas with a stock, they can wake up from a nightmare in the middle of the night where it didn't even have anything to do with the stock and think the world's coming to an end. Go log online, put a sell order in, and it fires off first thing in the morning.
All right, but what about, by the way, 877-PLANNER, if you have some questions. What about the situation of somebody who has maybe $150,000, $200,000? They have the choice of putting this into some kind of bucket one or enhancing their bucket one or putting this into some kind of real estate investment trust. Again, I'm only picking this because we've talked about it. And using the income from that to help supplement bucket one.
Well, you're probably not going to be able to you can't compare apples to apples. You can't say, I have $150,000. I've done my plan and I have $150,000 for bucket number one, or I'll just buy a real estate project and now I don't need bucket number one. It doesn't work that way because the numbers coming from the real estate aren't going to be enough to satisfy what the bucket number one was doing in the first place. That $150,000 was probably creating $2,000 a month of distributable event, mm-hmm. not earnings, distributions. Whereas the $150,000 real estate project is not going to create $224,000 of net cash flow. So you've got to look at what's happening. We're looking, can I use it to enhance and reduce the overall portfolio and reduce my reliance on bucket number one? In many cases, we can.
And that's what I was asking.
And so, but if all I'm doing is 150 versus 150, I can't compare them apples to apples.
Because
they're
one
different
is gonna,
animals.
Yeah, one is going to give me...
One's a shorter-term investment, 1 to 7 years. The other one's a long-term investment. Real estate is a long-term investment.
Yeah.
And so you have to look at them from a different standpoint. Does it fit in the strategy? Sure, it could fit in the strategy. But that presumes you have a strategy to tell you what you can and cannot do. Got to have the strategy first. Then you can work it one way or the other. Should I go more heavily invested here, more heavily invested there? And how is that going to affect these other areas?
Yeah, it's probably better to sort of bucketize bucket number one if you're going to do that.
Well, to some degree, but real estate is not part of
bucket
number one.
No, I don't mean real estate. Let's leave real estate out of it now. Instead of doing that, if you got this money and you want to get a little bit more out of bucket one, a better idea might be just
to ladder out the investments within it, sure.
Sure, yeah.
Now, the other thing I've seen where people talk about real estate is they have like $70,000, $80,000. They need $1,000 from their portfolio, and they have $70,000, $80,000 in their bucket number one, whatever the number is. But they have a loan, outstanding balance on their mortgage, their primary residence, of $70,000, $80,000. And it's because they're down towards the waning years of the mortgage, it's costing them $1,000 a month. And if they could just pay off the mortgage, it frees up $1,000 a month. And the interest rate on the mortgage is higher than what you can earn on bucket number one. And so it makes sense to pay off the mortgage in that respect and basically wipe out the cash flow need altogether and not even have a bucket number one really in that case, because now you don't, if you can wipe out the payment, you don't need any distribution from the portfolio. And so there are things that we can look at. On the other side, just taking $80,000 and putting it into a $400,000 mortgage doesn't do you a whole lot of good. It shortens the time horizon, but it doesn't help your cash flow today.
No.
So what is it that we're trying to accomplish?
That's the whole thing. What is it you're trying to accomplish? That's what everybody should be asking. What is the goal with this money? It's what we ask you when you give us a call and you want to know what to do with it. All right, trivia, what's coming up tomorrow, et cetera, et cetera. When we come back, more of your phone calls too, 877-PLANNER. It is Bucket Strategy Investing.
Some people willingly take on risk, like skydivers. They may find risk exhilarating. Most of us would rather avoid risk. When it comes to investing strategies, many investors want to keep their feet on the ground and reduce their exposure to risk. A risk buffer strategy through the purchase of an annuity contract is designed for investors who want the potential for growth when the markets are positive, potentially with some protection from losses when they're not. If you're concerned about stock market volatility and the threat of another market collapse, learn where a risk buffer strategy may fit in your investment mix. You may be able to cover losses to a certain extent when markets decline, but potentially enjoy a reasonable amount of growth when markets rise. Watch an informative short video to learn exactly how a risk buffer strategy works at riskbuffer.com. That's riskbuffer.com. A risk buffer strategy involves purchase of a variable annuity, which is a long-term investment product. Guarantees are based on the claims paying ability of the issuer, subject to their terms and conditions. Securities offered through Lucia Securities, LLC, member FINRA, SIPC. A December 2015 Gallup poll found that nearly three-quarters of those surveyed expected this year to start with stock market volatility. Their concerns were valid. According to CNN and other sources, this January was the worst month in the stock market since 2009. But even though we may have anticipated stock market declines, are we prepared for them? Are we prepared if we should see another market meltdown like 2008? Lucia Capital Group invites you to discuss your retirement strategy and review your exposure to potential portfolio losses if stocks stumble. What alternatives to stocks and bonds might you consider adding to your investment mix? Schedule an appointment with your local Lucia Capital Group advisor now. The consultation and review of your current financial plan is free. Call 800-644-1150 to schedule an appointment. That's 800-644-1150. And learn more at wealthed.com. Wealthed.com. Securities offered through Lucia Securities, LLC, member SIPC, and a subsidiary of Lucia Capital Group, a registered investment advisor. All investments are subject to risk, including loss of principal.
To all you parents sending your kids off to college, do us a favor. Invest in some good bedding. The Company Store has things like mattress toppers that make any bed feel like a spa. And remember, this is about protecting your investment in your flesh and blood. College is expensive, and we need sleep to learn, and sleep is hard to come by here. But hey, it's your call.
TheCompanyStore.com has been perfecting a good night's sleep for over 100 years. Visit TheCompanyStore.com to see our full line of college bedding and more. Enter the code CAMPUS and get 15% off your order plus free shipping.
Has your life changed? Are you now in a situation where you need health insurance? Here's some simple advice. Call our health insurance hotline right now. This free service will do all the work for you. Shop the health insurance marketplace and find the plan that best meets your health insurance needs. Don't get lost searching for plans on your own. Let a licensed agent help you for free. According to a report on CNN Money, almost half of those eligible for subsidies are paying less than $3 a day for bronze or silver plans. Remember, under Obamacare, most Americans qualify for health insurance. So get ready to let us do all the work for you and find out the best health insurance plan for your needs. Call this number now.
800-659-7975. 800-659-7975 for your free health insurance quote. Call now, 800-659-7975, 800-659-7975.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing ASAP. We're looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to us. And we'll give you our feedback. And if we like what we read, we will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. We handle everything. Editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, call Page Publishing now for your free author submission kit. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call.
888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. That's 888-785-0618.
QL1, this is Control, checking in to see how excited you are for launch. Over.
Well, actually, I'm kind of bored.
You're about to travel 17,000 miles per hour through Earth's atmosphere and you're bored?
It just doesn't sound that exciting after using Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. I was able to get a completely online custom mortgage approval in minutes.
Wow, that is impressive.
3, 2, 1. Rocket Mortgage at QuickenLoans.com. Push button. Get mortgage.
Rocket.
Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Number 3030.
Market strategy investing, Johnny Dean and Professor Rick Plum talking to you about your money. We didn't finish all the life insurance stuff, so we will try to get some of those questions. We had a question on return of premium and group insurance at work. We had an email or two on that. We may not have time this segment, but if not, we will get to it on another program. Now, coming up on the show tomorrow, we're going to be talking about college savings plans. We already had a couple of questions on those, a couple of callers asking about them, the different savings plans that are available to you, and not just that, but some of the ways that you may be able to get some help, outside help for paying for college, some wonderful ways, opportunities, credits, etc. We're going to talk about that tomorrow on this program, so stick around, stay here as best you can. That'll be in the first hour of the show. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum from Lucia Capital Group. All right, let's continue on. 877-PLANNER, our number, PLANNER. Let's go to Jerry up next in Tampa. Hi, Jerry.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you today?
Pretty good. I'm 85 years old.
Wow.
I've been retired a number of years on Social Security and Workman's Comp, which both of them are tax exempt. I don't work, and I get about $7,000 in bank interest.
Okay.
And I have United States tax deferred I bonds.
Okay.
I had about $100,000 worth of them, and I've been cashing about two a year, because they're not paying any. Well, the interest on them right now is 0.26, which is about a quarter.
Yeah.
So how much can I earn in interest before I have to file income tax? I haven't filed one in a number of years.
You're six. You're single?
Yeah, I'm widowed.
Yeah, so you're filing as a single taxpayer right now. So you can probably have about $12,000 of income, not including your Social Security, before you have to start paying some income taxes. So if you have $7,000 of interest from other investments, you got another $5,000 or so of bond interest you can use without paying any income taxes. That's not an exact number, but it's not too far off. I can try to get closer to the exact number in a few minutes. But how much? You've got $100,000 in value. If I were cashing in my I bonds. Now, do you have them that you purchased over a number of years, or were they all purchased at the same time? How'd you go about acquiring these?
A number of years, I cashed a $10,000 and a $5,000 last year. It made about $7,000, and I collected about $7,000 in bank interest.
Right. So I would want to see when they were issued. They've been around for a little while now. The ones that were issued back in the late 90s, 99, 2000, 2001, those had nice interest rate fixed rates. And so they're earning better than 0.26%. The ones that are being issued today are earning 0.26%. But if I have a bond that I bought back in 1999, that thing is still paying me, you know, 3.6, 3.7%. So when I'm going to cash them in, I'm not just going to take, you know, a random sampling of the bonds. I'm going to cash in savings bonds that were purchased, the most recent ones, even though they would earn interest longer. The core rate on them is just kind of dismal. Now, the core rate on the bonds today that are being issued is 0.1%. The core rate on a bond that was issued back around 1999, 2000 was 3.6%. Core rate meaning they're going to pay that flat rate plus or minus the inflation factor. Well, the inflation factor today is about zero. So I'm going to be getting, if on those older bonds, I don't want to cash those older bonds in yet. I don't want to cash those older bonds in until I get to 30 years because they're actually earning money. Bonds that were purchased in the last 5 years, yeah, sure, if I haven't held it for 5 years, I have an interest penalty if I cash them in, but I didn't earn any interest on them anyway, so there's really very little in the way of penalty if I purchased them in the last couple of years. So I'm going to look at what that core rate is, and I'm going to cash the bonds in that have a zero or a 0.1 or a 1% core rate to the extent that I can. That'll do two things. It'll create more cash flow because I can cash in a bond that doesn't have very much in the way of interest. And because it doesn't have very much in interest, I don't have to pay a whole lot of taxes on it. So I can reposition a lot more of it. And the other ones earn more. So I want to look at when they were issued before I just start cashing them in.
Yep. Most of mine were bought back since 2003 or 4.
Okay, so they have the 1% or less core rate.
Yeah.
Then you just look at how much in earnings are there. What are they worth today, and what was their face amount? They're issued at face value, so you can tailor.
Well, it was paying 1.67, and I called it, dropped down to 0.26.
Yeah, because it has a very little core rate, and so, yeah, I mean, and so the question is, can you do better? Now, if you cash them in, where are you going to put the money?
I got a couple of money markets that pay about 1.26.
Okay, well then, if you think you can put them in something that earns more, that's a reason to cash them in. I don't like I-bonds that are being issued today because I don't expect them to do very well over their 30-year life expectancy. All they're going to do is basically whatever inflation is, or at least whatever the government says inflation is, being a little bit of a cynic there. And so I don't think that they're going to earn anything. Yes, they're very safe. They can't lose money. But if you can earn 1% or better, instead of 0.26, 0.2, you know, even 0.5, yeah, I'd cash them in and move them over. To the extent
that's what I'll do then.
Okay.
I probably shouldn't cash them in all at once.
No, because then you'll pay taxes on whatever burning. But if they don't have very much in the way of earnings, you're not going
to. There may not be.
You can cash away a lot of them and not have to worry too much because there won't be a whole lot in earnings.
Yeah.
Well, last year I cashed was $15,000 worth. And I made $7,000 in interest, but they were old ones.
Those are the old ones when they actually used to pay money. Now these new ones don't pay any money.
Yeah.
Yeah, they was paying 7-8%, but them days going by.
Yeah, that was back the 2000 bonds, the 1999 bonds, where we had 3.6% core rate and 3.5% inflation factor. So they were paying 7% or something.
Yeah, you know, that enticed a lot of people back then, didn't it? Yeah, it was great. Jerry, I got to end the hour here. If you have some more questions, hold on. You're doing quite well. 85, he's got these I-bonds, and you know, I mean.
And he can earn more on a money market account than he can on the I-bonds. Figure that one out. Come on. There's something wrong with the interest rates.
Well, there's something wrong with the interest rates, and we said early on that that was probably going to happen. He bought these in 2003, 2004, he said.
Later than that, yeah.
Yeah, and those have a much lower core rate than if you had bought them in the late 90s, early 2000s. Okay, we're out of time for this hour. If you need the brain trust, you want to talk to Professor Plum or any of the Lucia Capital Group advisors off the air about your retirement plan, about your savings, about your bonds, your Social Security, doesn't matter. You can talk to them at the off-air number, 800-644-1150. Make an appointment. Talk to an advisor today about this stuff, 800-644-1150. For Professor Rick Plum, I'm Johnny Dean. This is Bucket Strategy Investing.
Information presented should not be considered specific tax, legal, or investment advice. You should always seek counsel of the appropriate advisor prior to making any investment decision. All investments are subject to risk, including the loss of principal. There is no guarantee that any investing or financial planning strategy will be profitable, provide protection from loss, or meet its stated objectives. Investment advisor representatives of Lucia Capital Group are also registered representatives of and offer securities through Lucia Securities, LLC, a registered broker-dealer member FINRA SIPC. John Dean is an associated person with Lucia Securities, LLC. In the information presented, the opinions and views expressed are subject to change without notice and may not come to pass. Registration with the SEC does not imply a certain level of skill or training.